me, yoga gave me freedom. It taught me about the freedom to be myself and to feel me in control of my life. No matter what happens, I own myself. I own my body. I own my mind. That's make my spirit as a powerful and infinite force.
My conversation with Sat Dayal Kaur, a yoga teacher from Uruguay, was so fascinating as we took a deep dive into the spiritual understanding of yoga and the search for meaning. As the founder of Semyo Yoga, a blend of yoga and semiotics, you'll be dazzled by how Sat Dayal explains what yoga is and how yoga can teach you not just how to live, but how to be who you really are. So if you're looking to tune into a podcast episode that's all about yoga in Uruguay and yoga as a spiritual instrument and yoga as freedom, then this is the conversation for you. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. I'm your host, Lily Allen Duenas. Together, we'll talk about the world of yoga and we'll talk to people from around the world. Before diving into the episode, I wanted to invite you to head on over to my Patreon account. I would love your support and I'm thrilled to have this beautiful community space where we can do yoga together, meditate together, and you'll get access to exclusive content. Get ready for some private Zoom Q&As, free printable art, meditation recordings, and more. Follow the link in the show notes to get started or head on over to any of my social media channels or my website, wildyogatribe.com, to hang out, get to know each other better, and find out more about all the support and resources available to you. Ready to dive in? Let's get started. Namaste, family, and welcome back to the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. Today, I am so excited to welcome Sat Dayal Kaur onto the show today. She's a Kundalini yoga teacher from Uruguay who is certified by the Kundalini Research Institute. She has a master's degree in communication and she's focused on semiotics. So she seamlessly has merged this transformational power of yoga with the study of signs and symbols. She's offering innovative workshops through her groundbreaking approach, Semyo Yoga, and she explores the intricate connections between Kundalini Yoga and semiotics, guiding participants on these introspective journeys to uncover the elements that shape their personal narratives and their self-communication. So I'm so excited to talk to her about that and dive in. So thank you so much, Sat Dayal, for being on the show with me today.
Hi, thanks to you. Thanks to you.
So to get started, let's kick off the conversation hearing about your story and about how yoga came into your life.
Yoga came into my life because my sister is a Kundalini teacher, but I resisted so much to do and even to know about yoga. All my life, I played sports and considered yoga as a boring and static discipline. I had studied Buddhism for several years, but I still felt that something was missing. So my sister gave me the gift of a weekend Kundalini yoga retreat with a well-known Chilean teacher, and I was fascinated. I really was fascinated. I never stopped practicing Kundalini yoga from that moment on. I did the instructorate and became a teacher. And I did also some postgraduate studies, and I have been teaching it for 10 years.
Oh, that's amazing. It is so easy to fall in love with yoga, and I love hearing how you did. And I know our listeners probably right here at the beginning when I was welcoming you, and I said that you had created Semyo Yoga and that you studied semiotics. That's probably something that could be new to our listeners. So can you define that for us? As well, what is semiotics? And can you tell us about Semyo Yoga?
Okay. Semiotics is the science that study the way that we produce sense or meaning. So semiotics, it's a science that pay attention to all things that we'll never pay attention, such as communication and meaning of the words, but also meaning of the symbols or meaning of the body language. And semiotics try to study the process that create meaning. So it's also like yoga. I think you, I don't know what you think, but to me, it resonates very much as yoga. So observation of meaning from the seed, from the very beginning, no? So the small parts, for the small parts, like yoga, no? In yoga, we see, we observe the body, but not only the body, but the breathing and the posture and the story of this body. So in semiotics, we do the same with meaning itself.
Wow, that's fascinating. So semio-yoga, that's how you're shaping it with kundalini yoga, with these observations.
I don't mix it. Yes, I don't mix it because it's a various discipline. With it's not, you do a kundalini yoga class, it's a structure, and it cannot mix it or merge with other things. What I do is bring a class of semio yoga, yoga as a semiotics practice, and then I do a class, traditional class of kundalini yoga for experience. We are talking first in the theoretical part of the class.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. And so for our listeners who aren't familiar also with kundalini yoga, I know that we do have a lot of yoga teachers who do listen to this show, but maybe not every teacher has actually tried kundalini yoga. Maybe yes, maybe no. So for every student who's listening on the path of yoga, every teacher, can you tell us more about kundalini yoga?
Okay, kundalini yoga is from the north of India, the Punjabi region, fundamentally. And kundalini yoga is known in Occident by Yogi Bhajan. So the way we teach kundalini is the way Yogi Bhajan has teach kundalini yoga. It's an Occidental version of kundalini yoga. Kundalini yoga is known as the yoga of the conscience. It's a yoga that we practice with the body we have, as the body is right now. So it's more like an observation practice that not acrobatic practice. Most important is see my body through the postures and through the kriyas and meditations and pranayamas. Try to know myself. Every kriya or posture, it's a mold, it's a horizon. But the important thing is how I feel and how I make the path to this horizon, not exactly the results, but the process. And it's a yoga that works powerfully with energy, very powerfully, and it's very physics.
Amazing. Yeah, it definitely is a practice that is crafted and has been cultivated in a way to help you activate your energy. It is very energetic, as you said, but not energetic like Ashtanga is very athletic and vinyasa with a ton of movement. I know that with kundalini, you start with a mantra and pranayama, and then there's lots of breath work, correct?
Yes. It's basically a way to learn how can I make my body work better as it is. So with my resources and with my capacities, how I make it a better relationship with my own body. Yeah, I know how my body works.
Oh, that was very well said. And so I know that also you believe that people who set out to teach have a lot to learn and a lot to heal. So I wanted to talk to you about how kundalini yoga, how that experience has changed your life.
Okay, I teach yoga basically because I want to share the blessings yoga has brought to my life. And also because it's a beautiful way to continue studying and learning. I really believe yoga teachers, we are messed people. We are people that need yoga. No people that know yoga. We approach yoga because we need it. So basically, when we teach, we are making public this situation that we need yoga and we need learn to yoga and we need experience the blessings of yoga. To me, yoga gave me freedom. It taught me about the freedom to be myself and to feel me in control of my life. But most of all, yoga gave me a great sense of freedom, really freedom. No matter what happens, I own myself. I own my body. I own my mind. That's make my spirit as is a powerful and infinite force. I'm fierce because of thanks to Kundalini Yoga. Yoga is my life, and I think yoga is life. I think the life is a kriya. It's exercise of yoga. And I use yoga in every aspect of my life, not only in class. I live in yoga. So that's a wonderful experience to me. And that's why I want to share this experience with other people.
Wow, you said that so beautifully. I also appreciate hearing that yoga teachers are people who need yoga. Not necessarily people who always know everything about yoga, but hopefully all the teachers do have some knowledge, some seeds to plant, and things to share. But I agree with you. I do teach yoga because I need yoga in my life. And the gifts that yoga have given me have changed everything, changed how I interact with people, how I'm less reactive in general, how much patience I have, and also the layers of myself that I'm understanding more and more. So there's so much that yoga gives.
Yeah, I say that not a form of disrespect of yoga teachers, no, because I'm concerned about a spiritual ego. I think it's a problem. It's a danger when I am in the path of a teaching yoga. It's easy to believe that I know everything and I am complete and I am of other problems, or even I am better of other people. I see that in other teachers, and I work hardly to avoid this feeling. Be humble and be patient, but mostly be humble, because we are learning and we are instrument. We are not goddess. Maybe we will feel like goddess, but we are not goddess. We are not above anyone. We are just learning and sharing.
I love that. Yes, it is such a blessing. And I'm grateful that you want to share that. And it is a reminder that we are the instrument, not the goddess, as you said. That was so well said, it made me laugh, and about the spiritual ego that can get in the way. I do see that as well with teachers everywhere. We all do have egos, but that spiritual ego, no one's immune. We all have egos. So just being mindful about it and being very self-aware. And I also love thinking about, what am I bringing to my mat when I practice? Am I bringing this desire to get something? Is it a desire? Is it an attachment? Is it an emotion? Do I just want to feel calm? How am I showing up and how am I practicing? And I think you talked about it in the beginning about semiotics and the search for meaning. And that plays into it for me as well, being aware of the meaning of why I'm doing what I'm doing in my practice.
Yeah, yes. I agree. I fully agree with you.
Since we've talked a little bit about what's going on with yoga, what do you think is something that people get wrong about yoga in general?
So a common mistake for me is yoga, it's only for relaxation. I hear people said, Maybe I will do a little yoga because I am stressed. And I wonder, why a little yoga? Why a little? Do yoga, fully yoga. Because you go to the gym and do the gym. You don't do a little gym or a little sports. You do full yoga. Yoga, it's a full exercise. It's a powerful discipline. Not only Kundalini yoga, every form of yoga. It connects you with your body. But it's awareness and your possibilities. I think this is a common mistake.
Absolutely. So just to ask this question as well, I love getting to this point in the interview. I love getting to ask it because I do ask this question to every yoga teacher who is on the podcast. What is your definition of yoga?
Okay. Me, yoga is everything in the universe, literally. Yoga for me is life and love and everything in between. Yoga is life. It's an answer. You want to know how to live? You do yoga. Yoga, it's a way of thinking. It's a way of moving. So I think yoga is life.
I love that. If you want to know how to live, do yoga. That's so poignant.
Because for life, you need to know yourself. And in our culture, nobody teaches us to know ourselves. Everybody teaches us how to live in society. So how we learn who we are, How is our breathing? How is our heart? How we work our body? We know we are not prepared to know that. We are always looking around instead of looking inside. So I think the way of living life is first to know yourself, and yoga, it's a wonderful instrument for that.
We're always looking around. We're so rarely looking inside of ourselves. Yes, we have a million different ways to be distracted all the time. Now, especially with technology more than ever before, it's just so easy to escape your own thoughts, your own self. So Satdial, I would love to hear from you too about your culture and your community's response to yoga. I know that you gave this broad indicator of how we are all looking around instead of looking inside, and we're not taught to look inside in your culture and in mine in the USA. So in Uruguay, what is the response to yoga?
Yoga has always been present in my country. There are great lineages providing those for a long time. What happens in my country is that it is a secular country, and generally spiritually is confused with religion. I would like people to understand that spiritually is necessary for people's happiness, not religion, but spiritually. To think of possible futures, more conscious and loving. So in Uruguay, it's a little hard, because every form of spirituality is confused with religion, and people don't like religion in my country, apparently.
And I know that you said that yoga has always had a presence in Uruguay. Does that mean that you feel that yoga has been around forever, or have there been studios and teachers there for 100 years? Track me back a little bit too in the history.
I don't know, maybe more than 50 years.
That's great. And there's a lot of yoga studios in Uruguay now?
Yes. Yeah, yes.
Great. All over the country or just in the capital in Montevideo?
Mostly in Montevideo, because Montevideo is half a country. It's a little city with half a population lives in Montevideo. So in the rest of the country, it's hard to find yoga studies, but in Montevideo, it's full of forms and lineages of yoga studies.
Beautiful. And where do you see it going in the future?
Here or in the world? I think it's more open to yoga as a spiritual discipline or a spiritual instrument. I have very young people took up to my classes, and that's great for me. I think yoga is very important, so any form of yoga in the world, and not only in my country, in every society, and if people improve the way that they feel about themselves, the world can be a better place for everyone. I love this work that you do to make public, and do this work that you do to make it in everyone in the world know yoga, or different forms of yoga, or different countries. I was mesmerized by your work, really. So I want to thank you, because it's so important to this job to communicate yoga in the world.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree with you so much that it is so important to have yoga all around the world, but also to make sure that people know the different elements and the different aspects and on the path of yoga. Because if you only have maybe gone to your one yoga studio in your whole life in your own city, and you've maybe met two or three yoga teachers, I would love to just expand that and say, oh, have you heard of this style of yoga, or how has yoga changed this life or this person or this community or this country? It is so amazing, and I'm so grateful that you said that.
Oh, thanks to you. And also I want to say that what I think is more important also in yoga is that yoga works when we are uncomfortable many times. It's not to you to make you comfortable in the class of yoga. It makes you comfortable in your life. But in the class, we learn how to live uncomfortably. I don't know if you had the experience, but Kundalini is intense yoga, so many times in class, it's hard. It's very hard. And I wonder why I do this. But I learned to manage this stress and uncomfortable And I think life brings to you this challenge, to be uncomfortable, to be uncertain, to be worried, to be afraid, to be stressed. So in yoga, we learned how to manage that, because life is not a fairy tale. It's wonderful, but it's not a fairy tale. So we have to learn how to deal with uncertainty, with impermanence. So that's life. So one day you will be happy, and next day something happens to you. Every day happens, something happens. So we cannot wait to be happy. You need to find balance and to be strong, because if you are strong, no matter what happens, you're still gonna be you. So that's why you need yoga.
Yeah. No matter what happens, you're still going to be you. And no matter how far you go, there you are, and there you always will be. So I absolutely agree that with yoga, there's so much that happened in this uncomfortable space. Like, you do get invited to get into shapes and retain your breath and do certain things that create pressure or tension or some strain or stress in these uncomfortable responses that your body may feel. And then you get to observe your mind and your emotions and see how you become stressed out or uncomfortable. And if you start panicking, there's just so many koshas, like layers, that you get to experience that do teach you how to deal with stress, how to deal with these uncomfortable things, not just physically, but mentally and emotionally.
Yes. And also, I think because of semiotics, that yoga is the language that you use to talk yourself when you talk to you. So I need to know how I talk to myself, because I learn a language with my parents, with the culture, with the country I live, but I need to find the way that it's good for me to talk to me. You know what I mean?
Right. How we talk to ourselves in our mind, it is not always very nice.
No, but we learn the world from our parents, from our culture. It's not always nice. And these visions of the world are not real. So it's Maya. It's illusion. So I need to learn my own language. So that's semiotics to me. I need to create my own form to communicate in this universe that is my body. My whole body, my spiritual body, my mental body, my physical body, oh, my whole body. It's a universe. I need to know the language that it speaks.
Absolutely. Wow. You did say that beautifully. I just got goosebumps. Perfect. So I also want to ask you about your country, about Uruguay. Can we pretend that someone's never heard about Uruguay before? And can you tell us about that, about your country?
As we said, It's a little country, very little country between Argentina and Brazil. We are known globally for having our president considered poor, who donate his salary to the cause of poor people, being an example of his ideological commitment to social conscience. And that's what's wonderful and complex also. So we are an example of democracy and recognition of human rights. Of the current government represents limited visions in that sense, but we are an example of democracy in Latin America, I think. And it's a peaceful, small country, peaceful and beautiful country, even in winter.
What is Uruguay really known for? Is there something you would want to call attention to, or an element that you have pride for? I know you talked about the democracy, and that's one amazing thing. Is there something else you'd like to mention about the mountains or the oceans or anything else you'd like to talk about?
It's a peaceful country, even geographically. So it's, I don't know, Uruguay has a shape of a heart in the map. We don't have earthquakes. Or we don't have anything dangerous. We have an ocean, a beautiful ocean, and a river, beautiful river, and beautiful beaches.
I like that. I didn't know it was the shape of a heart. I can picture it on the map where it is, but I just never knew it was a heart. I love it when people do get to talk about their country. I always get surprised, you know, what's going to be talked about. Like one yoga teacher from Cameroon mentioned that his country is in the shape of a chicken. And I had no clue. It's such a fun fact. Also, Satyal, I know people are going to want to follow you on social media or reach out and ask you a question. Or maybe they're planning a trip to Uruguay and they would like to hear some advice from you or come to a class with you. So what's the best way that people can find you?
Find me is in Instagram, and it's a very small country. So if you ask anyone, you will find me, really find me.
So I will definitely link to your Instagram in the show notes, as well as on my website, wildyogatribe.com/yoga in Uruguay. And also there you can find a transcript of this podcast so you can read everything while you're listening. You'll find the blog and quotes from Satyal and everything else. So thank you so much for being with me on the show today. It has been a joy to talk with you, and I've loved every part of it.
Oh, thanks to you. And it's really been a pleasure. I'm honored to become a part of your community, because community is so important. I am very happy to know you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. Thank you for the gift of your attention today. If you feel called, please share this episode with someone who you think could benefit from it. Leaving a review would also be so appreciated. I also hope you can join me online on my website, wildyogatribe.com, or on social media. I would love to get to know you better. I would love to share with you and to hear your thoughts. Send me a DM, send me a note, get in touch. It would be great to hear from you. And as always, be well, dear one. Be well.